Welcome to episode 56 of the Intermittent Fasting Podcast. If you want to burn fat, gain energy, and enhance your health by changing when you eat, not what you eat, with no calorie counting, then this show is for you. I'm Melanie Avalon, author of What, When, Why? Lose Weight and Feel Great with Paleo-Style Meals, Intermittent Fasting, and Wine. And I'm here with my co-host, Jen Stevens, author of Delay, Don't Deny, Living an Intermittent Fasting Lifestyle. For more on us, check out ifpodcast.com, melanieavalon.com, and jenstevens.com. Please remember, the thoughts and opinions on this podcast do not constitute medical advice or treatment. So, pour yourself a cup of black coffee, a mug of tea, or even a glass of wine, if it's that time, and get ready for the Intermittent Fasting Podcast. Hi friends. So I'm sort of haunted by clothes. If you follow me on Instagram, you probably know that I love wearing all the new clothes all the time. And I know that that is not really sustainable and not good for the planet. That's why I am thrilled that there is now a way to get all of the clothes with none of the waste. And I'm going to tell you how you can get unlimited clothes with no waste for a month for free. That's right, I now have a website for both myself and you guys where you can get free unlimited clothes with free shipping, free exchanges, nonstop from all of the hottest brands, and it is so incredibly easy. It's called MelanieAvalon'sCloset.com. We have so many incredible brands, including my favorites like BCBG, Calvin Klein, and so many more. Think like 100 brands. There are so many options. And the way it works is when you get a subscription, you search through the clothes, pick what you want. They send it to you with fast, easy shipping. You wear it as long as you want. And then when you're ready for more clothes, you just drop it off in their prepackaged envelope and get your next round. It is so incredibly cool. They have multiple plans. The starter plan gives you two pieces at a time. Friends, I actually have a little secret hacked. Don't tell them that I told you this. When you get your two pieces, you can actually immediately go into your account, click return, and they'll go ahead and send you the next two pieces. So technically, you can have four pieces at a time. You also have a cool virtual closet that you can keep stocked with everything you eventually want to order, so you never miss out. And if you really like something and want to keep it, you can opt to buy it at a massively discounted price. Friends, I'm obsessed. This is finally the answer to wearing all the clothes all the time with none of the waste. Oh, and of course, one of my major reservations was the cleaning compounds that they use on the clothes, because yes, it is dry cleaning, which normally makes me nervous, and they don't say this on the website, so I reached out to them, and I was like, hey, what's going on with the cleaning? What do you guys use? Because I can't promote this if it's just normal dry cleaning. And thankfully, they let me know that they do not use any detergents, fabric softeners, or chemicals that are harsh. Everything is professionally dry cleaned or laundered with detergents that are free from dyes and scents. It's all gentle and it uses low temperature cycles. So yes, we are good on that front as well. It is the coolest thing ever. And you can try it free for a month. Yes, completely free. Just go to MelanieAvalon'sCloset.com to sign up. Free clothes for a month. After that, their plans are super affordable. We're talking, honestly, an entire month is less than the cost of typically what would be the cost of one dress. And I am not kidding. That's right. Unlimited clothes for less than the cost of one outfit. I'm just so thrilled to bring this resource to you guys. I can't wait to hear what you guys think. So again, get free unlimited clothes for a month at MelanieAvalon'sCloset.com. That's MelanieAvalon'sCloset.com for all of the clothes, none of the waste. And definitely share your pictures and tag me on Instagram because I want to see all the fabulous things that you guys are wearing. That's MelanieAvalon'sCloset.com.
One more thing before we jump in. Did you know that common ingredients found in skincare and makeup products can actually disrupt your endocrine system? These endocrine disruptors are a silent threat that can have significant impact on your health, including something that is very important to me, fertility. Your skin is your body's largest organ, and what you put on it matters. Endocrine disruptors are chemicals that interfere with the natural hormonal communication in the body. It also matters during during pregnancy. And that's one of the reasons I pay close attention to what I put on my skin while being pregnant. Studies have shown that exposure to endocrine disruptors can affect both male and female fertility. For women, these disruptors can lead to irregular menstrual cycles, ovulation issues, and even polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS. In men, they can reduce sperm quality and quantity, making it even more challenging to conceive. But it's not just about fertility. When it comes to fat loss, one of the reasons that endocrine disruptors can get in the way of fat loss is because a lot of our toxins are actually stored in our fat. It's a way that our bodies protect us from those toxins. These toxic compounds can even work synergistically, amplifying their harmful effects and making it that much harder to shed unwanted body fat. All of these reasons are why I am obsessed with a company called Beauty Counter. The founder actually started the company when she learned about the potential dangers of toxic chemicals and their link to health issues, specifically miscarriages and infertility. While pregnant, I make sure to only use Beauty Counter products. It's one of the only makeup lines that is officially recommended from the Environmental Working Group. What really sets Beauty Counter apart is their unwavering commitment to protecting us, the consumers, from the hidden dangers that lurk in conventional beauty products. Beauty Counter goes above and beyond, rigorously screening every single ingredient that goes into their products, ensuring that they are safe, clean, and free from harmful toxins. They're not just a beauty brand, they're a movement for change, advocating for stronger regulations in the beauty industry. With Beauty Counter, I know that I can trust that the skincare and makeup that I use are not only effective, but also safe for me and my family. They have skincare lines for every skin type, as well as so many other incredible products. I absolutely love their overnight resurfacing peel. It's my favorite way to get anti-aging benefits in a skincare product. The makeup is absolutely amazing. I have tried alternative beauty products in the past and none of them truly performed. But with Beauty Counter, the foundation is so amazing. It makes me feel like my skin can breathe and it looks so dewy and beautiful. You can shop with me at beautycounter.com/VanessaSpina. New customers can use the code CLEANFORALL20 for 20% off their first order. Beautycounter.com/VanessaSpina. All right, friends, now back to the show.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. This is episode number 56 of the Intermittent Fasting Podcast. I'm Melanie Avalon, and I'm here with Jen Stevens.
Hi, everybody.
How are you today, Jen?
I am doing fabulously. How about you?
I'm good. Why? What's so fabulous?
Well, it's just beautiful spring. I have 3 more weeks to teach. We did a real quick trip to Savannah and Hilton Head for the weekend and just got back. So I had some sand between my toes and just everything good. I love warm weather. I love the sun. I love the heat. Good thing I live in the South.
I've been to Savannah once. I remember, did you go to like downtown Savannah or is that completely different?
We were, you know, the old part, the historic part, because my son goes to college there at SCAD, which is Savannah College of Art and Design. It was parent weekend. So we went down just to see him for a little bit on Saturday and walked around the old part, the cobblestone streets and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I just remember... I think, is the city like on a river?
Yes, it's on the Savannah River. It's right there. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember I saw lots of ads for ghost tours and I'm really into that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So one of the dorms at SCAD is, they say it's the most haunted place in Savannah. I mean, I doubt that it is, but that's what the students say. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's an old, you know, it's right there in the old part. So.
Yeah. Oh, I would want to, that's cool.
That one.
Yeah, I would. I love actually one of the first projects that I did when I first graduated from college was I filmed a ghost hunting pilot.
Oh, that's fun.
I remember I got cast in it and I was like, oh, am I gonna be scared? Like, is it gonna be, but it was not scary.
Okay.
It was very I do wonder, but you know all those shows where they like go in the ghost hunting, like they go in the scary places. I do wonder if any of them, like especially the reality TV type ones, if any of them are actually like
really, really scary.
I don't know, but I can't watch those because they're too scary to even watch. Oh, I'm a big baby.
I love them.
I don't like to be scared. No, Savannah's gorgeous. And then we just went out right up to Hilton Head and just were there briefly. But it's a quick trip from one to the other. And then back home, all the way back home, though, it's so funny. From Hilton Head to Augusta, we went this back way. And it's all like we saw like so many cows. And we had no cell service. It was so bad that my Apple CarPlay that has like the Apple map on it, like went away because it couldn't get any service. And all we saw was like a gray screen. So we had to switch over to GPS, but it was funny. We were literally in the middle of nowhere.
Smelly from the cows.
We didn't smell the cows. We were in the car, but there were lots and lots of cows and pastures and fields. And
sounds pretty.
It was very pretty. So what's up with you? I see that you're in your new place.
I am. I'm just trying to tackle. I've been here about a week and there's just so much. I'm finally going through everything, like all my stuff, throwing everything away. I've been listening to The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up.
Have you heard of it? I have heard of that.
Have you read it?
I have not read it. I'm pretty tidy. And I'm also a big, like I've been getting rid of lots of things. So I think that it's already in my philosophy. I'm not a minimalist exactly. No, far from it. But I like the ideas of keeping it simple.
Yeah, it's really helpful. And I took a lot of notes that I'm going to give to my mom for when they move again in Georgia. But basically, it's made me want to throw everything away.
I just want to throw everything away now.
It's really helpful. Her main thing is you basically...
Is it you keep things that give you joy?
Yeah. So like her big thing is basically just try to throw away everything. And then you pick up like each item one by one. I haven't gotten to this stage yet. That I'm still in the like just discard everything at first phase and organize. But when you get to the deciding phase, you pick up the item and you say, does this bring me joy or does this spark joy? And if it doesn't, it's out. But I really am throwing away things, but sometimes it takes a few rounds. I'll have an item and I'll be like, no, I'll keep it. And I'll go do other things and then I'll think about it and then I'll come back to it. And I'll be like, no, I'll keep it. And I go do other things and then I'll come back a third time. And I'll be like, okay, it's gone.
It's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've learned a lot. But
that's fun. Yeah, I'm doing that in my classroom because, of course, I'm packing everything up. Then I'm not taking a lot with me. So
yeah, it feels so good to like give everything.
I had this big wooden apple that was like, you're my favorite teacher that somebody gave me years ago. And I was like, what do I do with this big wooden apple? And so I handed it to a third grader that was in my class. And I said, who is your favorite teacher? Not me. Someone else. Who is your favorite teacher? And he said, Mrs. Smith. And that sounds made up, but there really is a teacher, Mrs. Smith, that's across the hall. And he said, Mrs. Smith. I said, go give her this.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So he did.
See, that author would love you. Yeah, that's like one. That's one of her things is the problem of trying to keep, like you keep things because somebody gave it to you, so you feel like you have to keep. You know, like you feel like you have to keep it.
Right.
She's like, that's not a reason.
No.
And then also she said things that you bought that you didn't really use, or she's like, no, like it served its purpose. It's okay to get rid of it.
Right.
Just.
I'm good at that. But I'm not going to have like a teacher shrine in my home, you know, after I retire with all the teacher decoration stuff. So all that stuff is definitely going to go.
Well, yeah, what I did actually, I think I might have talked about this before, but I've been taking pictures of everything.
Right.
And I'm going to make like a scrapbook.
Oh,
so
that's
then
good. You can look at
then
that.
you can actually look at it. It makes more sense in a way.
Yeah.
So that's been like really helpful. It's like, okay, I'll take a picture and then toss it.
Yeah, I'm so good at tossing things that we went back for our 30th sorority reunion kind of a thing at my college. And like my friends saved their bid day t-shirts and all sorts of things. I threw those out years ago. And now I'm like, oh, I wish I had saved those. They would be sparking joy now. But at the time, I guess I was over them. I don't know.
What I'm doing with my t-shirts, actually, I've gathered like all my t-shirts from life, basically, and especially when I went home to my home in Memphis, and I'm gonna make them into one of those t-shirt blankets.
Oh, yeah.
Where they cut out like the squares.
Yeah. Well, I wish I had some of those t-shirts because people were wearing the old ones, and I was like, oh, I was like the opposite of joy. I was really sad that I threw them away. But who knows? It was some point when I moved in the past.
Well,
all right. Live and learn.
Alrighty. Shall we jump into everything for today?
Yes, let's get started. All right, the first thing we have is some listener feedback, and it is, the subject is shoes for Jen, and this is from Ruth. So I'm going to read this. It says, hi, ladies. I'm listening to an episode from last fall, and Jen mentioned that she has a hard time with shoes due to her narrow heels. That is so true. Jen, have you ever tried Vibro Barefoot shoes? They make lots of different styles. They all have wide toe boxes, as they believe this allows the foot to be in its most natural, functional form. Side note, my husband and I both wear minimal or barefoot shoes. Don't worry, there are lots of styles other than that one with the toes. Yeah, my side note from me, my son that's a freshman in college now went through a phase where he wore those shoes. Have you ever worn them?
I had a friend who wore them.
Yeah, the ones with the toes.
They looked really weird.
And here's a little unexpected thing people don't know. They smell after a while. Maybe that was just my son. I don't know. He wore them without socks. They smelled so bad. But that might just be him. But I was like, get those shoes out of here. But he loved them. Then and he wore them around. I think they're very comfortable. All right. So back to this. It says, particularly when we exercise, she wears those shoes. Sometimes they are also called low profile. They are so good for your feet and body, like going barefoot, which I know you love. Yes, I am barefoot right now. All of those thick-soled, gel air, built-up, etc. shoes take away from your foot's natural form, like what would happen if you pushed up on the bottom of the arch in a cathedral, say. It would collapse. We are doing the same thing to our feet. My father-in-law has bizarrely, obviously flat feet, and I really believe that it's because from the time he was a toddler, as he told me, he's been wearing supportive shoes all the time, inside and out. I'm a jogger, not a runner, and my comfort and endurance has really improved in the years since I made the switch. I personally prefer Merrell barefoot shoes with the Vibram sole. I found the Vibro barefoot shoes are either too long or too short for my foot. My husband, who was 20 years in the U.S. Air Force, was plagued by shin splints to the point that he was constantly on and off profiles where they do your physical fitness requirements omitting certain exercises, in his case, running. Every time he tried to start running again, he got shin splints. He switched to minimal shoes and has never had them again. He runs almost daily and has done several half marathons. We know of a man who switched and his shoe size went down a full size because his arch healed. We need a strong arch for healthy walking, standing, running, and jumping. Our two sons wear shoes like Converse All-Star sneakers, or I don't know what that other brand name is. What is that?
I don't know. Play.
PLA Plays. I'm not sure what that brand is, but that just could mean I'm so like out of date. I have no idea. Plays for the same reason. No clunky soles for them. When they aren't running around barefoot, I still want them to be able to feel their feet and have good function. You can find barefoot shoes that aren't exercise shoes. They're cute, casual styles, even boots. One more random thing, since you're a teacher. Did you see the study, American, I'm pretty sure, or maybe out of UK, that found that school children were more focused and attentive with fewer behavior problems when they changed from their shoes into slippers when they got to school and the school stayed cleaner? Sorry this turned into to a letter. Love you guys, Ruth. Now, that's funny because as a teacher myself, of course, I allow my children to take their shoes off in the classroom all day long. Like they can take their shoes off.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I'm walking around barefoot. They're walking around barefoot in the classroom. It's really funny. One teacher came in my room one day and she was like, you're walking around the classroom barefoot? That is so gross. I'm like, well, I would walk on the beach barefoot. What's the difference? I mean, I think my classroom probably is cleaner than that. I don't know. But
it's a very good point.
Yeah, we're relaxed. We take our shoes off. We're barefoot. But I appreciate the suggestions, Ruth. I'll look into those. But really, I'm mostly, if I'm at the house, I'm pretty much barefoot. unless it's like winter, and then I put on my Uggs. They're comfy. And since I'm not going to have to go to work in professional shoes, I figure I'm going to be 24/7 Uggs or barefoot, like depending on what time of the year it is.
All the time.
All the time. All the time. I also have weird, this is just a side note about me, my feet get cramps in them when I wear socks. Have I said that before on the air?
No.
Yeah. I can't wear socks anymore. I don't know why. It just, I noticed if I have certain boots that I'm wearing that I wear with socks, they make my feet, by the end of the day, at night, my foot will start cramping up. But when I wear shoes that I don't have to wear socks with, my feet don't cramp up. And if I wear socks around the house during the day, my feet cramp up. It's like they press too hard on my feet. My feet want to be free.
That's weird.
Yeah, so I just let them. I let them be free. Uggs don't do that. My feet feel very like just themselves inside those. Almost like I'm not wearing shoes. So that was a good tip for everybody. Protect your arches. Let them do their job. Do you have any comments on that?
I was thinking she was talking about being like how the natural is better. I actually just ordered a new mattress, all organic mattress with no like problematic off-gassing material or anything like that, and it smells like a goat because apparently apparently you have to have a flame retardant in mattresses legally, and so like I guess the only legal organic flame retardant that people can that they can use is goat. It's like goat wool.
Oh my gosh.
So it smells like a goat. Last night, I came yesterday.
It really does smell like a goat.
It does. And at first I was like, oh, this is kind of rustic and cool. But then all last night I was like, goat, goats, goats.
Oh my gosh. That is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Awful.
So if you start to smell like a goat every
No, it's bad. And especially because I hadn't put the sheets on yet because it came late. And I was like, I'll just, you know, deal with that tomorrow. It's pretty bad.
You're going to have to.
But I have a mattress protector. Okay. And then I have like sheets that I'm going to put on. Yeah. So I'm hoping. And people say the goat smell goes away.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be waiting for a follow-up on this one.
I will let you know next week. It might be. I one of the reasons I bought this mattress was their return policy. Well, A, it was the only slightly affordable mattress like that was less than, you know, $1,500 that was all organic and everything. And their return policy is you don't ship it back if you don't like it. You find a charity to give it to and then they refund you.
Okay.
A, that's awesome. And then B, worst case scenario, I can have one of those charities that will pick it up, you know, so I won't have to like take it.
Do you have to add a warning? Like, warning, it smells like a goat.
my whole room smells like a goat now.
Oh, I would like to see what my cats would do with that.
But the reason I brought it up was it's firmer than my other mattress. And I was also reading that firmer mattresses are better for it's like better for your form and everything.
I think so too. Yeah.
Like apparently sleeping on the floor is like great if you can do that, but
I do think firmer is better because otherwise it's not I don't know. I don't feel great when I sleep on something that's not firm.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to get used to the firmness and the goat.
Yeah.
But so next week I'll let you know if the mattress is still with us. Because it's a bit much.
Okay. On that note, let's move into the questions.
Alrighty.
Okay, friends. People often ask me, what is the one supplement I cannot imagine my life without? And while there are a lot of supplements out there, a lot of ones that I love, a lot of ones that I advocate, there is one supplement that inspired me to create a whole supplement line. And that's because I take it every single day and I really can't imagine my life without it. That would be Serapeptase. And I'm about to tell you how to get up to 15% off on a special bottle version that we have that also saves you money. So Serapeptase is a proteolytic enzyme created by the Japanese silkworm. Now we make it in a lab, so it is vegan. When you take this enzyme in the fasted state, it actually goes into your bloodstream and it breaks down problematic proteins in your body. These are things that your immune system is often reacting to and that create inflammation. That's why it can do incredible, amazing things like clear your sinuses. That's why I first started taking it. You can completely say goodbye to allergy meds with Serapeptase. It reduces inflammation and pain. My friend just started taking it for her back pain and told me she was shocked at how effective it was, more so than the pain pills she normally was taking. It can help reduce cholesterol. It's even been shown in clinical studies to break down amyloid plaque in vitro and in vivo. Basically, it is a wonder supplement. And what's super cool about it is that it specifically breaks down those problematic non-living proteins. It doesn't harm healthy tissue. It actually helps protect that. That's because the function of the original enzyme in the silkworm is to break down the cocoon of the silkworm without actually harming the silkworm itself. And there aren't studies on this, but I really believe it can help catalyze your fast by enhancing the natural process of autophagy. Again, not studies on that, but from a mechanistic standpoint, it totally makes sense. Here's the thing. I was taking so many different brands of Serapeptase, and they always seemed a little hard on my stomach and have problematic ingredients in them, especially special enteric coatings where they wouldn't disclose what that was made of, which meant it probably contained problematic plastics. I knew I needed to make a change. That's why I created my Avalon X Serapeptase. It's what launched my Avalon X line. I will never stop taking it. It's one of my favorite things in my life, and the effects I experience are profound, and I hear that from all of you guys as well. We test it multiple times for purity and potency. It's free of all problematic fillers and common allergens. It comes in a glass bottle to help prevent leaching of plastics into ourselves and the environment. And we even use the minimum amount of stickiness in the label on the bottle to help reduce problematic compounds. So if you want to tackle your inflammation, clear your brain fog, oh, it's amazing for brain fog, stop your allergies, attack amyloid plaque, reduce pain, so many things, you need Serapeptase. And you can get 10% off with the coupon code Melanie Avalon. But here's another thing. We actually have a special large bottle. It's the only supplement that we have right now in a large bottle. It's the 180 version, and it saves you money. If Serapeptase is a part of your daily life, like it is mine, you definitely want our large bottle size, 180 capsules. It's the best way to save. And again, you can save even more with my Melanie Avalon 10% discount, or you can get 15% off that as well if you get a subscription, which, by the way, with a subscription, you could pause or cancel anytime after your first order. So it kind of makes sense to do a subscription because you save even more. If you want a supplement that you can actually feel the difference, I promise you, Serapeptase is the way to go. And then you might end up like me and want to give it as gifts to everybody because it's that incredible and can address so many issues. You can get this at avalonx.us. That's AVALONX.US. Again, there is the 90 capsule size and the 180 capsule size. You save more with the 180. Use the coupon code MelanieAvalon for 10% off or get a subscription for 15% off. And we'll put all this information in the show notes.
So to start things off, we have a lot of questions about Serapeptase. I was going to do just one question that came in recently, and then I was like, I'll see how many Serapeptase questions we have in the lineup, and we had a lot. So I'm just going to go through them all as quickly as possible, and we can just tackle the Serapeptase issue, and then if you ever have a Serapeptase question, feel free to keep them coming, and we'll keep addressing them. So, first question from Carla. Subject, Serapeptase. Hello, Jen and Melanie. I love, love, love your podcast. There are so many wonderful pointers that I have taken from these episodes. I've been doing IF for a couple of years now. I have celiac disease and with that, leaky gut. I cannot find any doctors that could help me fix my absorption of nutrient issues like iron, vitamin B, D, etc. The normal things for people with celiac were not working for me, so I started doing my own research and testing. Yay, I'm an advocate of that, by the way. That brought me to IF. IF has been a miracle for me. I can now keep up my levels without having to have mass infusions. Yay. IF and fasting in general have greatly improved my health. Your podcast has helped me tweak my IF lifestyle to make it even better. Okay, to my questions. I've played around with taking Serapeptase. I know this should be taken in the fasted state. Once I take it, how long should I remain in the fasted state? I was thinking of taking it at 6:30 a.m. and I normally open my 5-hour window at 7:30 a.m. Is that enough time for the pill to work its magic? I do a 19-5 fast. During the fast, I'll have black coffee or water. I also follow the circadian rhythm fast. Normally, this is not a problem. From 6 o'clock p.m. to 6 a.m., I have only water, nothing else. From 6.01 a.m. to 7.30 a.m., I will have water, coffee, and supplements allowed during the fast, then my eating window, followed by coffee, water, until 6 p.m. Because I also follow the circadian rhythm, I would prefer not to have to take the serpeptase until 6 or 6.30 a.m., but that limits the time I would have before breaking my fast. I will adjust as needed depending on how much time I should have between the serpeptase and the food. Sorry if you've already answered this. Sorry if you have already answered this question. I've listened to all of your episodes. It was a lot of information. I might have missed it. Thank you for making my drive to work a little more enjoyable. And normally I read them all at first, but I think we should probably go ahead and address this one.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. All right, so we're going to add something to the show notes for this episode. I found a website that might be useful. It's called serapeptase.org, and it has links to the research and questions and things like that. That might be a good place to get started if you want to learn about serapeptase. There's a lot of information out there about it. Basically, if you're thinking about taking serapeptase, don't take it just because Melanie and I both discovered that we both take it. You know, that's not the reason to take it. And I am absolutely not saying that is what is happening here. So I'm not saying that. But everybody who's hearing us talk about it, don't think that this is just everybody should go take this. You need to have like a reason, something that you know that you're taking it for. For me, it was uterine fibroids. And I think it made a big difference. It could have also been intermittent fasting that made a big difference. I'm not really sure. But they both, you know, I've had a lot of relief in my symptoms. I do intermittent fasting and I take serapeptase. So it's hard to know exactly what the cause is. As far as what serapeptase does, it really, you know, when you read a description of what serapeptase does, it sounds an awful lot like what autophagy does. Have you ever thought that, Melanie, when you were reading it?
That is so true.
I mean, I just, every time I read what serapeptase does, it just, because serapeptase is an enzyme and it's produced by the, I guess, the silkworm, and they produce it for dissolving their cocoon. So it goes around and dissolves non-living proteins, like the cocoon. So, you know, in our bodies, when we have autophagy going on, our bodies is going around breaking down non-essential things, non-essential proteins. So very similar kind of action, it seems like to me. I mean, maybe someone who studies this would be like, oh my gosh, they're so different. You are clueless. That's possible. They just sound very similar with their actions to me. But because it's dissolving proteins, that's why you don't want to take it with food. Now, I did find a recommendation that said that no food should be consumed within 2 hours before taking it or for half of an hour after taking it. So it sounds like to me that you're going to be fine if you're eating an hour later, that would not be a problem. You know, it says to wait 30 minutes. So if you're waiting an hour, that should be sufficient since you're taking it on an empty stomach. It's really important to wait 2 hours, you know, after eating to take it, and then give yourself 30 minutes after taking it.
Yeah, because basically we don't want it competing in a way with proteins in our food. So if we take it with food, it's going to just break down our food. And I did find a study that was looking at the absorption rate or how it's absorbed. And basically it's absorbed through the small intestine. So that's why it's important to get the enteric coated capsules that will make their way to the small intestine, because interestingly, so our stomach is acidic and our small intestine, it's alkaline. If we take capsules that are gelatin, for example, those will get broken down in the stomach because of the acidic nature. Whereas if we get like an enteric coated capsule, those are specifically made to make their way to the small intestine for absorption. And the only study I could find on the actual absorption of serapeptase was done in rats, but they did find that after oral administration, that it was absorbed through the intestines and it's transported directly into the bloodstream. And they found that it actually peaked in the plasma and the lymph system afterwards. And they found that it peaked about a quarter of an hour to half an hour after it was taken. So it took about 30 minutes to get into the bloodstream. So I guess, Carla, you should be good if you're taking it at 6:30 and then waiting an hour, I think. Or but you said, Jen,
well,
2 hours.
Two hours before. Eat. Make sure you haven't eaten within 2 hours before and within 30 minutes after. So you need a 2.5 hour serapeptase window.
And reason, Jim was saying that you need a reason to take it. So reasons to take it, it's really good for sinuses. I think that's what most people are going to it for. It really clears up everything. I stopped taking it as an experiment and now I brought it back and I'm so glad. So, okay. Next question from Suzanne, subject serapeptase. Hi, ladies. I'm Suzanne. I live in the UK. I just started listening to your podcast and I absolutely love it. Thank you so much for all the advice you give. After your podcast on serapeptase, I went out and bought some. I wake up and have a coffee, black of course, and then I take the tablet. But I've noticed that I'm absolutely starving after about 20 minutes. Could this be breaking my fast? Can't wait to get your reply as I really don't want to break my fast with this. Lots of love. So, breaking the fast. What are your thoughts, Jen?
Well, I do think that one question I would have that I wish I could ask Suzanne is, is this new with the serapeptase, or did you just start both at the same time? Because the fasting, because you drink the coffee and then take the serapeptase and then you're starving in 20 minutes. So before you took the serapeptase, if you were doing everything the same, having the coffee and the only difference is now you're taking the serapeptase, then yeah, it does sound like the serapeptase is making you hungry. And I don't know, it just depends on if you could just push through it. It doesn't do that to me. So that's why it's hard for me to answer this question. It does not make me hungry. I don't feel anything at all after I take it. And I also wonder if maybe you're taking one that does not have the enteric coating. Like maybe it's releasing into your stomach or something. And so you may need to double check that and see if the kind you're taking has the enteric coating. And if it doesn't, you're not getting the benefits anyway. So check your brand, see how it's coated. What were you thinking, Melanie?
Yeah, I was going to say check the brand, check the fillers, check the coating. But if you can push through it either way, I think
probably
it's okay.
So.
I wouldn't worry about it
like breaking the fast. Yeah.
If you can push through the hunger, I think.
The only question would be if you're starving. Yeah. If it really, when something makes you like ravenously hungry and shaky and so hungry, that's a bad sign. I wouldn't have that during fasting. But, if you absolutely find this one's not working for you early in the day, you can take it an hour or a half hour before you open your window. Try that.
Okie dokie. Next one from Peter. Hi, Jen and Melanie. My serapeptase. Oh, the subject is also serapeptase. I think they all have the same subject.
Yeah, I do.
Hi, Jen and Melanie. My serapeptase finally arrived from Amazon. I can't wait to test it. He said finally. He must not have Amazon Prime because do you have Amazon Prime?
Yeah, I've had it since like they first started having it.
I love Amazon Prime and I have the Amazon credit card and then I tried Amazon Now for the first time yesterday. Have you tried that?
Is Now the one that comes really soon?
It's new. It's different than the Amazon grocery. Yes. It comes in like 2 hours.
Yeah, we don't
have
that here in Augusta.
And it seemed really great. I just tried it and they only have it in major cities. So they do have it here in LA. They'll bring from like Whole Foods and Sprouts so you can do like groceries. It's for if you like need something right now.
Okay, that's cool. Is it have like an extra shipping charge?
Well, I was going to say that's the thing. There's no shipping charge. So like if you do it within a certain window, so it's like, oh, yay. But then you have to do it. You don't have to, but they recommend a tip, which ends up being about the same.
Okay. That's still very cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And they can do restaurants too, apparently.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah. No, we don't have that here. And we're probably going to be a long time from getting that.
Long time. So I love Amazon.
I do too.
And now they have, and now that they're linked with Whole Foods, I get 5% back.
That's cool. See, yeah. This is how we'll never have it because our Whole Foods closed in Augusta.
Oh, no.
We don't have one. They had never closed a Whole Foods ever, ever in the history of Whole Foods. And then I think it was right before Amazon acquired Whole Foods. They were trying to like...
So recent.
Yeah, they were trying to get their numbers down. So they closed like 10. And one of them, I guess their least profitable stores, one was Augusta. But we're getting a Sprouts next week. It's opening.
Oh, nice. So, that's cheaper.
And it's closer to my house, so I'm going to be happy.
Do you have a Trader Joe's?
No, we don't have that. I'm surprised we're getting a Sprouts, but
have you been to a Trader Joe's?
I have. I've been to one. Okay. But yeah, I'm sad we don't have one. I think I would like it. I
love Trader Joe's.
I'm going to have to just go to Sprouts because it's closer.
Well, Sprouts is nice. They have a lot of nice wine too. And they have a lot of organic wine.
All right. So back to Peter.
So he can't wait to test it. One question. Doesn't taking it in the morning break the fast? Not that I'm too concerned about it, but I'm interested in the science behind it. Thanks for your great podcast. Keep up the good work. So I think we sort of addressed that. It's not really breaking the fast because it's getting absorbed in the small intestine, going straight into the bloodstream and the lymph system. And the nature of it isn't really, you know, yeah, it's not like food.
Yeah.
It's actually similar to fasting in a way, like Jen said. So, any thoughts?
No, I think that's it. I mean, I always ask myself, you know, this is actually the only thing I take during the fasted state is the serrapeptase, just because it needs to be taken in the fasted state. And so I always balance it with pros and cons, like, you know, is it worth, you know, the risk that this might get my digestive system started a little bit from this little pill? But I mean, sometimes you have to take something and you just can't be 100% perfect in the life, right? So I've never noticed anything negative from it. Now, if it made me starving right afterwards, like Suzanne said, then I wouldn't take it during the fast. If it made me feel queasy, I wouldn't take it. But, you know, there's listeners who have to take certain supplements and medications in the morning or in the fasted state. And so you have to just outweigh, is there a tiny possibility that this might be doing something in my body, you know, disrupting the fast? I mean, I don't know, theoretically, could you think of something, you know, you're putting a solid capsule into your body. But in reality, I think the benefits outweigh that little risk.
I agree.
Yeah. So.
All right. Sonia, so the subject is serrapeptase. After listening to your podcast, I started to research serrapeptase and think it will benefit me greatly. I have sinus issues, ovarian cysts, and currently am struggling with uterine polyps causing clotting and excessive bleeding. The problem is that I do not swallow capsules. I can swallow small pills, no bigger than a round Advil shape. Any suggestions on a brand or where to get what I'm looking for? I also started IF 8 days ago and feel amazing on it. I do between 16.8 and 18.6 and haven't lost weight so far, but want to take the process slow and do something that is sustainable in the long run as a lifestyle and not a diet. I mostly eat whole foods and cook from scratch. How long should I give this protocol before either shortening my window or lowering my carb intake? I haven't been watching my carbs per se, but try to eat higher veggie and protein and lower carb in general. Thanks for all the information and support. Love the podcast. So for her question about serrapeptase, I actually didn't research if there is a pill.
Yeah, I haven't found any either.
I don't think there's a pill because of the nature that Jen and I were talking about. It needs to be in that enteric coated capsule. So
it's going to be big. It's going to be bigger.
It's going to be in a capsule. It's not going to be, yeah, like a pill.
Yeah. So I don't know. And you can't break it up, obviously, because it has to stay coated. So this is just one of those things. I don't know how to solve this one.
Yeah, we're not much help there.
No, sorry.
Google. Amazon. Keep Googling. So for Sonia's question about her eating window, so it's only been 8 days and you're feeling great. I would keep on keeping on with it for a while. Maybe in a couple of weeks, if you're not seeing any difference, you could try shortening your window or lowering your carb intake. What are your thoughts, Jen?
Yeah, I think so too. You know, if she just has started, she's still well within the adjustment period. So I wouldn't start to worry about anything for at least 3 weeks. And, you know, if you're doing 16.8 and 18.6, maybe gradually try to bring it down to 19.5 and see how that goes. But, you know, people do have results on 16.8. You know, I say that a lot of women may not, but that doesn't mean that all of them, you know, have to have a shorter window. You know, men generally do better with 16-8 overall than just as a rule of thumb of the people that I've seen. You know, that's not anything that's like scientific. It's just as I've seen a lot of times, we have to have a shorter window. But you'll know over time if it's working. And I wouldn't try to tweak everything at once. Don't like say, now I'm going to shorten my window and I'm going to eliminate carbs. You know, make a small change, see how that goes. Make another small change, give it time, see how that goes. Dr. Bert Hearing, who wrote Fast Five and Appetite Correction, he actually says, give any change you make 3 weeks. You know, I know we're not, that sounds like a lot of time, but we're not that patient. We like want to make a change and then see a result right away. But, you know, he suggests giving it 3 weeks just to see what that change does and then make another small change and see how that goes. So, as Sonia said in her question, she wants this to be a long-run lifestyle and not just a diet. So I think that the approach of changing things slowly will really fit with that approach, the lifestyle, not trying to quick fix or whatever. And as far as the lowering carbs, you know, if you feel like having lower carbs as your lifestyle is something you want to do, then tweak that. But again, not necessarily unless you want to. You know, don't think that that is a thing you have to do. Like, okay, I want to lose weight, I have to lower carbs. No. You know, I didn't start losing weight till I added back carbs. So not everyone is going to have a magic, you know, weight loss increase just because you lower carbs.
Yeah, I agree. And we've had some other episodes before on different tweaks that you can try. So I will put some links to those as well. But like Jen said, you can definitely give it a few weeks first. So if you, for listeners, if you go to ifpodcast.com/episode56, that's where we'll put links to all these references, all anything we talk about. And if you go to ifpodcast.com/stuffwelike, that's where we put all the stuff we like, and that's where the serapeptase is listed. So speaking of, we still have some more emails about it, if you can believe that. Mary Beth says, I heard of serapeptase yesterday while listening to your podcast. I plan on giving it a try for inflammation. What dose do you recommend? I was thinking of starting at 40,000 daily and titrating up. Is this safe for teenagers with allergies and joint soreness? I was reading reviews on Amazon and several people reported vomiting after taking it for 2 weeks. Any thoughts on that? Most reviews were favorable. So both Jen and I'm assuming Jen, if you still take the, we take the 120,000.
Yeah.
Like the high potency. Some people do experience some negative side effects from it. Actually found a study and they said that overall the adverse effects are pretty minimal. If you do experience negative effects, you obviously don't have to take it.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts?
Well, I just, you know, I hesitate. I don't want to be giving, you know, medical advice here. As we say, we're not doctors. So, you know, when you ask, is this safe for teenagers? Is this going to, I feel very uncomfortable saying anything like, yes or even no to that question. So this is something, talk to your doctor about it if you have any concerns. You know, as an adult who's trying something on your own self, you know, you're experimenting. But when you're starting to do things with your kids and your teenagers and asking me, you know, I'm not comfortable saying, yes, try it with your teenager, or no, don't try it with your teenager. I just can't help you there. So that's just my disclaimer there. I just don't know. I don't know how it would affect any one person. So as Melanie said, research shows it's generally safe. But, you know, then again, so are peanuts, and kids have, you know, bad reactions to those. So not anything is going to be the same for all of us.
I would.
Oh, Melanie would say no one should have peanuts. But
I would say peanuts are, peanuts are one of the most moldy foods. Like, out of all the foods.
Yeah, I do great with peanuts. But let's say shellfish then, for example. Shellfish would be another example. Some people can't do shellfish. Some people can. So we can't know how anybody's going to react to it. So like in some of those Amazon reviews, people had a reaction to serapeptase. Those people probably should not take it. And why did they? I don't know. And our bodies are complicated. And so we're all different. So please do not think that this is a cure-all that everybody should take. And always talk to your doctor if you have specific questions, especially if you want to use it with kids, because I don't know if there's been any research on it with kids or adolescents. I don't know.
Perfect.
All right.
All right. Then Christy says, hi, ladies. So the subject is serapeptase. First one to say how much I love your podcast. I started IF about 9 weeks ago, and I love the lifestyle. I'm a 40-year-old healthy female who had about 10 pounds to lose, which I have not been able to get rid of for several years, despite healthy eating and exercise. IF was just what I needed to trim down and get back into my jeans. I don't weigh myself, so I'm not sure if I lost the 10 pounds, but I feel awesome. And I do take measurements, and I have lost inches. I started with 16.8, and over time, I've moved to a 1 meal a day approach. I cannot believe the amount of energy I have. Until you experience it, it's almost hard to comprehend it's possible by eating one time a day. Thank you for your podcast and both of your books. I love them. My sister also does IF, so having a support system has been great. She is feeling the benefits also. She says, my question is taking serapeptase. I know you take it in a fasted state. However, the instructions say 1 pill 3 times a day. Do you take all 3 doses in the AM or spread it out throughout the day? Thank you again. That's interesting because I don't think mine says
Mine either. I don't think mine does either.
I just take one in the morning.
Me too. So. Yeah, I just take one in the morning too. So
I would actually not – I wouldn't want to take it even later because I think it would keep me – make me too alert. Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know that it makes me alert. I don't know that it does anything like that, does it? Well, anyway, no, I don't take 3. I just take 1 first thing in the morning. Brush my teeth. I take my serapeptase. I go on.
Perfect. All right. And then Lynn, last one, a subject. Oh, the subject is supplement, not serapeptase. She says, hi, Melanie and Jen. I was wondering if you could talk more about serapeptase. I've ordered some and the reviews are amazing. Well, I think we definitely just did that. And I will say, I did find a few other studies on it that I'll just throw out there really quickly. I found one called The Effect of the Proteolytic Enzyme Serapeptase in Patients with Chronic Airway Disease. And because we do talk about how a lot of people use it for sinuses, and I love this study because it's funny to read studies like the wording of things. Like we measured the amount of sputum
by... Is it sputum? Weighing. I always thought it was sputum. Oh, is it sputum? I don't know. Sputum? I think it's sputum.
I don't know.
One of those.
We measured the amount of sputum by weighing. Part of each sputum sample was weighed and then completely dried and reweighed.
Ew.
The percentage solid component, viscosity, and elasticity of the sputum was measured. In any case, that was a human trial, and they found that serapeptase had a very beneficial effect on mucus clearance.
Well, good. And just to speak to that for 1 second, when I first started taking it, you know, I've mentioned I was taking it for uterine fibroids, but I was not expecting it to do anything in my sinuses. I hadn't even hardly read much about it. Just someone suggested, take this if you have fibroids. I was like, I'll try that. And it did a number on my sinuses. Like I had intense, terrible headaches at first. I think it was clearing it all out. And like I felt really, really like I was getting the flu. And then it passed, and then I felt better. But it definitely, and I was like, I was not expecting this. It shocked me.
Like I said, I stopped taking it for a little bit and brought it back, and I'm seeing huge difference in just like brain clarity, especially after I think it's gotten into my system, gone into my system.
Yeah. But just be aware when you're first starting, and if you're taking it, you may feel like some negative feelings like I did, and I wasn't expecting them, but it definitely did something in my sinuses.
Yeah, and then I actually found a rat study, but they were looking at it for treating Alzheimer's disease, which is pretty interesting, and they found that it significantly affected different factors that would potentially benefit Alzheimer's. Like, for example, it increased BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, and IGF-1 levels in the brain, and then also reduce levels of like inflammatory things that happen because they basically induced Alzheimer's in the rats, which is kind of sad. And they found that the serapeptase reduced the negative things that were happening.
Well, that's
good. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot out there about it for people to read if you just do some searching and go to the websites and see what they have to say about it. Very, very interesting.
Yep.
All right. Well, that is it. This is the Sarah Peptase episode. We have time for a little bit more. It's from Michelle. And the subject is, does IF target some areas of fat more than others? And the question is, hello, ladies. Love the podcast. It's the only podcast I go out of my way to listen to every week. Thank you very much, Michelle. We love to hear that. I've been IF for 4 months and have successfully lost the excess weight I was trying to shed. Everything except for my stomach. I am noticeably able to fit into old pants around the hip area, but I have excess stomach that wasn't there when I used to wear these same pants. Is this normal? Should I fast longer? Start working out? Any insight or advice would be much appreciated. All right, I have lots of thoughts about this, but would you like to start, Melanie?
You can start.
I'm just going to say that you got to give yourself some time. You know, you've lost the weight that you're trying to shed. You can fit into the pants, but you still have a little bit around your belly. Your body is going to keep changing over time. You know, one thing about IF is it's not a short-term solution and then you go back to your old way of eating. So I assume, Michelle, that you're going to keep doing intermittent fasting long-term. I'm assuming that you're using it as your lifestyle. And with that in mind, you can rest assured that your body is going to change. You will lose fat from your stomach. It just hasn't targeted that yet. So yes, everybody is different. You know, you asked, does IF target some areas of fat more than others? Well, it depends on the person. It's going to get fat from certain places and some people before others. You know, for me, I had some areas that were last to go. And even, you know, after I got initially to my goal with intermittent fasting in, over 3 years ago now, my body has changed a whole lot since the past, you know, 3 years have passed, since the time has passed. So I've continued to lose my, you know, my arms have shaped up. I had a little, you know, the little hanging stuff more so, the little flab areas, like right there, my little underarm area was flabbier. You know, I've continued to gone down cup sizes in my bra. Sorry, ladies. Yes, that's going to happen eventually. You know, I've gone from, at one point I was a triple D and now I'm a C cup. So it's going to continue to target the fat that your body wants to give up. So give yourself time. Getting to your goal in 4 months is pretty fast. So you've got a lot of time left for it to work on those areas. I think right now I'm hoping it's working on my cellulite. That's my goal. I'd like for that to get worked on a little bit. But yeah, give your stomach some time. I wouldn't, you know, you're asking, should you fast longer or start working out? No. Yes, you can start working out if you would like to, if you enjoy working out. No reason not to. Of course, understand that's probably going to make the scale go up as you build muscle. And don't think, you know, oh my gosh, I've started working out, now I'm gaining weight. Well, you're not gaining fat. You'll be gaining muscle, which of course is heavy because it's dense. And no need to do anything special. Just let it happen. Let your body get better. You know, 3 years is a long time that I've been letting my body get better. And so far, so good. But, you know, do I still have some trouble areas? Yes. Yeah, I've still got a little bit of my belly I'd like to see get a little smaller, but it's going to do what it does. You can't force it to target a certain area.
I like everything you said, and I was going to talk just a little bit about the different types of fat and why it seems that we lose different types at different times. So basically, we have the two main types of fat, visceral fat and subcutaneous fat. So visceral fat, that's the fat that's stored around our organs. And it's the most metabolically active fat, which means it's actually the first to go and the first to gain, but it's actually the most dangerous because it does surround the organs. So that's what we want to target and that's what we want to lose. So it's good that we can lose that easily. Subcutaneous fat is the fat that's found right underneath the skin. It's the stuff that you can pinch. It's harder to get rid of because it is metabolically inert. It's basically like, not that your body doesn't know what's there, but it's kind of like your body's not actively thinking about it really. So it's kind so it is the last to go and it can be really stubborn for some people to get rid of. But I found that IF is great for that stubborn fat because you will especially if you fast longer and once you cut through your other fat stores, you will get to a point where you have to use that fat and your body will turn to it. So I think IF is like one of the few, maybe like, it's like one of the only things that really makes you get to that point where you have to use that fat. And we talked about on previous episodes, tips and tricks for breaking through stubborn things. So I'll put links to that in the show notes. You're seeing progress, so keep on keeping on. Don't stress too much.
It'll happen. And also, I want to point out, I've told this story before on almost a year ago now, when I threw the scale away episode. But I had not weighed in 14 months, but had gone down 2 jean sizes during that 14 months and was certain I had lost like a ton of weight, like on the scale, like maybe 10 pounds, two jean sizes. So I got on the scale and it was only 2 pounds down in those 14 months. So I had lost a remarkable amount of size and it wasn't showing up on the scale at all. And so that was when I got really mad because I expected to see a certain number on the scale to verify, good job, Jen, you're losing some more fat, which was stupid because my pants were telling me that. I knew that I was getting smaller. So that was the day I realized no more scale for me because it was messing with my mind. So I had to throw it away so I wouldn't be tempted to get on it because really we're looking for a measure of progress and see what's happening with your clothes. Pay attention to that. As you are able to fit into those pants better, ignore what the scale is saying and pay attention to the pants. Always trust the pants.
Perfect. And then I think we can throw in 2 really quick questions
because these
actually came right around the same time and we hadn't had these before, which was interesting. And then we got both of these. So Jacqueline, subject is flavored chapstick. And she says, I just started IF about a week ago and your podcasts have been a huge help in getting me adjusted and ensuring I fast clean. I've heard you guys say before that if the brain perceives sweets entering the body, it will produce an insulin response. So I'm wondering if my mango flavored chapstick might actually set off this response since I can taste the sweet mango flavor while it's on my lips. I'm not too worried about it, but I was wondering if this is something that has come up before. Thanks. And then Delina, the subject is lipsticks and gloss. And she says, what are your thoughts on lipsticks and lip glosses and fasting? I find that many lipsticks, glosses, and even lip stains have flavors, which seem to be sweet. Do you think these trigger an insulin response? And then, so I will say before going into the answer, which I think I know the answer from both of us, I have completely, as far as makeup goes, I avoid all flavor, just in life, I avoid all the additives and the chemicals and stuff like that. And I've completely have gone through my makeup and have gone a really all natural route, which I found has made a huge difference, especially for the sensitive butterflies out there like me. As far as the flavors go and insulin, what are your thoughts, Jen?
They do call them flavors, and I think that is a key right there. So theoretically, I don't think there's ever been an insulin response study on lip balm as far as I know, but with the insulin response that we're talking about, it is all about what your brain thinks is happening, right? So theoretically, could I imagine a situation where a mango-flavored chapstick is causing your brain to think you're eating a mango? Well, yeah, I could imagine that. So I know you're not actually ingesting it, so I don't really know where the brain's like, oh, wait, but she didn't really eat anything. I don't know. So personally, I would avoid anything like that myself, and that might sound like overkill. I don't know, but I use Burt's Bees peppermint, and that the peppermint does not seem to be a problem for me. And I just use Burt's Bees peppermint all the time. I've used it. I have them always near me because my lips love having that on there. But, if you want to be absolutely safe, pick something that your brain is not going to say, oh, I'm eating a mango. And I'm sorry to anybody who thinks this is overkill, but, theoretically, I could imagine perhaps it being a problem. What do you think, Melanie?
I agree. It's really an individual case and you have to see. If it's making you hungry right afterwards, I think that would definitely be a telling sign. I like the peppermint idea because peppermint actually tends to be an appetite suppressant. So I do think that's a good route to go. I'd recommend going at an all-natural route or something, yeah, stimulating, like peppermint, spearmint, something like that.
Yeah, that's a good question. It actually comes up all the time in the Facebook groups. So this is one I've thought of before because I've answered it a lot of times. But as far as Delina asked about the regular lipsticks and glosses that just taste like lipstick, what I wouldn't worry about that. But, you know, anything that's like cherry cola flavor or, you know, Dr. Pepper flavor. I mean, they actually make those. Have you seen them?
Yeah, I remember them. Yeah.
Don't buy those.
Guess what they make now? Guess what I saw?
Oh, gosh, I can't even imagine.
Guess what I saw when I was walking through Ralph's, which is like Kroger.
I have no idea.
And I just didn't know what to do. Gluten-free Pillsbury Funfetti cake. Remember, I was always Funfetti cake is like my one thing. And good thing it has gluten because that's what keeps me away from it.
Now they have gluten-free.
But then I looked at the – it's terrible.
Oh, it is. It's going to have all the artificial – like, I bet there's not a single real ingredient in there.
But I was like, no, curse you. I took a picture of the cover. And I took a picture of the ingredients. I'm probably going to Instagram it, but I didn't want it to be like a negative trigger for people. But,
See, I don't like the way that stuff tastes. Ugh.
See,
That's just awful. Like, I think they invented that when I was early teaching, like, and that was super popular, like in the 90s when they just invented it. And so like any kid who had cupcakes, they would bring those in, you know.
Yeah. Oh, the cupcakes.
Oh my God. Disgusting. Oh. No.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. They're so good.
No, they're not
good.
Oh
my goodness. Uh-uh. Anything Pillsbury.
Yeah, I just don't like
it. I want to know what I want. It's something that it's got to be something that company – some chemical that company has found that just speaks to my brain.
I guess so. Because,
like, they're slice and bake cookies, too.
You love them. See, I don't like those either. I just genuinely don't like them, and I really never have. Isn't that funny?
So jealous.
Yeah.
Did you like the, you know, those, the cookies that they always have that people always, that kids always bring in? It's like the go-to cookie. Or at least it was when I was in elementary school. It's like the soft cookie. They're like really soft cookies with like a really stereotypical icing that they have at all the
oh,
grocery
yeah,
stores.
No, I hate those.
I don't know what it's called. You know what I'm talking
yes,
about?
Yes, that gross cookie with the icing.
It's like that cookie
I
with
hate
the icing.
Those are so bad.
Oh my gosh.
See, so I also can really taste artificial colors. Like if anything's got a lot of artificial colors in it, my taste buds pick it up and I don't like the flavor. Like, I'm very sensitive to the flavor of that. I'm a super taster. I think I've mentioned that before. So
yeah.
That's probably why I don't like those, because they're full of the artificial flavor. I mean, the artificial colors. I don't like artificial colors.
It's so bad.
Yeah. It just doesn't taste good. You know. I would totally eat it if I loved it, people. But I don't.
I would not.
I would.
I do love it.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so a few things before we go. So if you go to ifpodcast.com/episode56, that's where I said we'll put the links to all the references, the studies, all the things. You can go to ifpodcast.com/stuffwelike, and that's where you put all of the stuff that we like, not stuff like Pillsbury, stuff that we like, but serapeptase, and then depending on how my mattress goes, maybe the goat mattress will pop up.
Oh my gosh, we're going to hear about this
we'll
one.
See.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I cannot wait for follow-up on that.
Next week, I'll let you know how the goats are doing.
Yeah.
And then also, you can follow us on Instagram. Our handle is ifpodcast. I would say you could follow us on Twitter, but I'm still working on that.
And you can't follow me on Twitter.
All right, you can't follow Jen because she's fake.
It's
somebody else stole her account.
Yeah.
You can listen to last week's episode, I think, or 2 weeks ago for that. And lastly, if you're in iTunes, you can subscribe to our podcast and you'll get the episodes downloaded automatically. You won't even have to do anything. And also, if you're in iTunes, we would love if you could write a brief review. It really helps so much, like, really. And I read them and Jen doesn't, just in case you're wondering.
I don't know.
But I read them. I read all of them. So thank you.
And I thank you too, even if I don't read them. I can't read reviews. Yes. I just can't.
the good weighs out the bad.
Well, I know, but I just still, I'm like, what? You said, oh, it hurts my feelings, so I can't read them.
Oh, you know, it does happen sometimes.
Yeah.
All righty. So, this has been wonderful.
It has.
And I don't have anything else to say.
No, but I will see you next week.
All right. And then you'll have only two weeks of class after that?
Well, yeah. I have 15 more teaching days of my teaching career right now, counting, you know, just the school days. And so it's really, crazy. Yeah. And it's really, once you know it's the end, you're just like, oh, it's hard. It's hard to get through the last part.
I hear you.
Yeah. And I love my kids. And so like the last day when it's like fifth grade graduation and I'm up there, I have awards to give that day. And I'll be up there and there's going to be like a feeling of, I did it, you know, celebration. I'm going to be so excited, but I'm also probably going to like sob uncontrollably. You know, it's like I have such mixed emotions. I'm really happy to, you know, with teaching, the one thing that I'm tired of is managing behavior. I'm tired of managing children's behavior, but I love children and I love teaching children. So I'm going to be like laughing and crying and celebrating and sobbing and all of those things.
It'll be a new chapter.
It really will. And on that note, I will see y'all next week.
See you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Intermittent Fasting Podcast. Please remember, the opinions we discussed on this show do not constitute medical advice. We're not doctors. Check out ifpodcast.com for more information on us. Theme music was composed by Leland Cox. See you next week.